the Chinese year of the Eastern Bloc.
Welcome to Talking Istanbulics from a sunny Turkey with me, Yorma Kirko, and him,
Raybak. And where else will we be, Shakers? Back down in our local juicer Thursday night. Our main sponsor is James Joyce Irish Pub, Istanbul. And a very positive week where we've had Easter, elections in Turkey, and the big end of Ramadan holiday is coming up, Shakers. And don't forget, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure you listen to some of the older episodes so you get the vibe, the ooze, the throb. Why did I say it? Wait a minute. And YouTube channel. Now, Jimmy's done a great old job on the YouTube channel for some of the best sketches. And we're bringing you this episode, as usual, with the help of Grow Radio UK, home of the biggest selection of podcasts on your radio 24/7. So check it out if you're curious about other podcasts and need a good recommendation.
Yes, and today's show is brought to you by Spudman Magazine, the publication that has everything you need to know about the world of potato cultivation. This week's show has more chips on its shoulder than a bag of McCain's. Morgan is breaking his fast, and we've got a new character, Caden Stokes, the really woke bloke, reporting a crime while trying to fight for social justice, and we've got Kiss and Tell.
Spudman Magazine. Potatoes. The Irish, by the way, didn't invent the potatoes, the spuds. They simply enhanced the flavour, Jimster. And as usual, we've got true or false. And we're going to start off right now, Shakers, with Morgan Freedman reading one of his own poems about his long life.
Hi, Shakers. The spring is here, and it's a special time of regrowth. It doesn't happen often that Lent and Ramadan happen at the same time, and both are a time for spiritual rebirth and, of course, fasting. I started to think about fasting and the concept of purging your body of nutrients for spiritual fulfillment. I started to research what Muslims eat when they break their fast, and it occurred to me that the English word breakfast literally means breaking your fast after a long night of sleep, or perhaps slap and tickle, if you're lucky. Last time I was over in Istanbul, seeing Ray and Yorma, I stayed in a hotel and woke up when the muezzin did the call to prayer. I was feeling spiritually and physically hungry and decided to break my fast in the buffet. Here are some of my musings on the topic. Breakfast by Morgan Freedman. Pangs of hunger wane, and a fast will soon be broken. Yearning taste buds and food fantasies are awoken. Petit déjeuner, the little lunch they call it in France. Eggs, toast, pancakes, pastries, or bacon perchance. In Malaysia, chicken rendang, the finest of curries. Coconut citrus heat, even if I'll fill the bowl with slurry. Pickled herrings and kippers by the North Sea. Fish in the morning has never bothered me. To awake in France with the smell of coffee and fresh bread. Delicious jam, buttery croissants, a joy to be fed. In Scotland, it's fried pork, or maybe some porridge. No wonder the folks there are fat and well-nourished. But Germany's crispy bread with cold cuts and cheese, cherry jam, muesli, buttery scrambled eggs are a tease. German coffee is mellow, mild, the best mix of beans. Especially in the country south, it's an underrated cuisine. So I woke up recently in my Turkish hotel room and washed my hands with that lemony perfume. Descended to breakfast, looking forward to the spread, and instantly regretted I'd not stayed in bed. Olives, cucumbers, and tomatoes are not for grown men. I can eat them for lunch or dinner, but not before 10. The bread's okay, I have to confess, but nuclear eggs, liquid jam, Nescafe, fake juice, and the question begs, How can I eat this and not feel angry and just sulk? I wish I'd packed ramen noodles, in my case in bulk. The self-professed world finest cuisine, they call it. But turkey, awake your breakfast, just shit.
Well, breakfast, wait a minute, wait. Ladies first.
Yeah.
Breakfast, breaking your fast. Ever so subtle, Morgan.
Well, he's right, actually, isn't he? But I thought he was going to say something a bit deeper and more spiritual, really, with it being about Lent and, you know, Ramadan and things. But then again, I mean, is that not deep? If he was so evidently perturbed, as you would say, Ray, about his inferior breakfast, you know.
Or if somebody hadn't ruffled his temper.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand his situation. I could vouch for many of his opinions on that one.
Lent and Ramadan, though, falling at the same time. Hand on heart, Jimmy, a former altar boy, me, myself, and I. I have never, ever, ever fasted in my life. I like my grub, Jimmy, plus my weekend scoops of intoxication. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to torture my body and give up the love of my life, pal.
Yeah.
You never choked on that, Jimmy.
I think my longest fast is about as long as Morgan's, really. I admire these people who do it. If they think they can get away with it. But I just can't think it's good for you in any way. They say it's good for you spiritually and mentally, but I mean, how is it good for your body not drinking and eating all day? How is it good for your body?
And they do say that the Turks are temperamental. Now, they're an emotional bunch. Mm. They're a very passionate bunch. And Jimmy, those 30 days, Jesus, I'm sure the temperature, the tempers, not the temperature, The tempers do certainly rise, especially during traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic hours.
I think it's a lot worse, though, when Ramadan is in the summer and the days are longer and it's hotter. I mean, we've had nice weather this week, but, you know, it started in winter, didn't it, really?
Yeah. It's lovely to see the good weather, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. We had 29 degrees yesterday.
Yeah. Really? Much the same again today. We walked in, well, not with our shorts.
Well, I lived in Ray, as you're fully aware.
Yeah, I know, God love you. Anyway, it's great to be back, Jimmy.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's giving me a little break as I walked in yesterday evening and the kitchen door handle fell off, so I decided to try to replace it. Which was actually quite easy, but you know that feeling when you, you've done one little thing and you think, right, I'm on a roll. And at that point, I decided that a bedroom door that wasn't completely broken, but the cats were able to get in. We don't let them in the bedroom. When I found one of the cats in when I got in from work yesterday, I thought, right, I'm going to finish that door. And went and got a lock from the shop. And thought, well, this is going to be easy. It's just a case of pulling one out and pushing another one in, and then the cats will never get in again. Well, it wasn't that simple, for starters. There was lots and lots of swearing, lots and lots of groaning, all kinds of noises that you might hear from somebody's hotel room, except they weren't pleasant ones at all.
But no disrespect.
Ended up bending over and got this horrible... I don't know what it is, but the tendon suddenly just felt like it was on fire. So I've been joining my good wife on crutches today, which has been great. She's been on crutches for 2 weeks. I've been on crutches all day today as well, having people help me across the road, offering seats on the bus.
Seriously.
Makes you feel both touched by human nature and also quite old as well.
Well, I was just going to say 6 or 7 years, I know, you know, but you're gifted with bad luck. I don't mean that in a bad way. It just seems to follow you everywhere. There's always something fucking wrong with you. Jimmy, no. Are you just basically clumsy?
No, I'm not clumsy. It's just what I was trying to do is it was going dark. So I was trying to hold the torch and an electric screwdriver at the same time. And My wife will kill me for saying this again, but she lost my glasses, so I couldn't tie properly as well. I'm trying to get into the best position for this, and then anyway.
Well, seriously, myself and Jonathan, our good friend Jonathan in Ireland, who spent a long, long time in Istanbul and is married to a Turk, he was just saying to me earlier on, you know, Jimmy will have to take it a little bit easy. You know, he's hitting the big 50. Brother.
Still quite a long way off, actually, Ray. Still quite a long way off. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, you did mention this last week as well.
I don't know, it's just around the corner, the big 5-0.
Well, you'll have to prepare me and tell me what it was like.
I'll take your mind off it.
All those years ago.
Anyway, to take your mind off it all, Jimmy, the big 50.
Celebrity.
Gordon Sumner, known better as Sting, English musician, activist and actor, frontman, songwriter and bassist for a new wave band, Police, from 1977 until their breakup in 1986. Some useless information, I'm sure you all knew that already. So here is the burning question. He wrote the iconic song, Every Breath You Take, during a heartbreaking experience after splitting up with his fiancée a few months before the actual marriage date. Not Beyoncé, fiancé.
Okay. Was he ever involved in a relationship with Beyoncé?
No. I just thought that you might have, or you might have taken up Beyoncé as fiancé.
Oh, I see.
Because I'm just after having a few scoops, so I could be spluttering.
So he wrote it because he'd just broken up with his girlfriend, who was not Beyoncé. What's the other one called? Beyoncé, she plays... God, I've forgotten what her name is.
Oh, not Rihanna.
No, not Rihanna. The other one. Jennifer Lopez.
Ah, the one with the big...
I think that's where she was... That was her character name, wasn't it, I think?
The Punani.
Well, maybe. Who's that one who raps about the fanny ring?
Ninja, Minja.
Yeah, she wasn't called that. She was called Cardi B.
Cardi B, yeah. Yeah, you're right, yeah. Okay, that was her, Cardi B. Nothing to do with her. Nothing to do with Beyonce or Rihanna or...
So when he splits up with...
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the question? He wrote it about her.
Yeah.
I don't think he did, because I remember seeing him on a TV show many, 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 many years ago. And so a bit like the Eric Clapton Wonderful Tonight, you know how so many people think that Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight was this beautiful romantic song? Well, it is a beautiful song, but it was basically an apology for battering the shite out of her. I remember somebody saying to Sting that it was it a romantic song? And Sting said something about it. It would be in a bit of a stalker's anthem.
Yeah, the band should be.
Unless Sting is confessing to being a stalker, almost certainly not.
It is actually about a stalker, often referred to as a creepy song.
It is actually.
He's telling her.
It really is.
Yeah, he's telling her he's watching her, no matter where or when. He's a stalker who has made up his mind that she belongs to him. So everything she does from now on, he'll be watching her every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you.
Uh-huh.
There you go. I would have said the other one. I would have said true through about breaking up with an ex-girlfriend, and that's how naive I was actually in the 80s. And I would have actually gone with true, but I found out a couple of years ago the same thing as you did.
Yeah. If you only listen to half the lyrics of a song, you can sometimes get the idea totally wrong. And most people do, don't they? You know, they might catch the first couple of lines, they might catch the chorus, but you rarely listen to all the words that were on it.
Back in those days, we were all loved up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, seriously, well, no social media.
Yeah.
If you bought the album, you could get the lyrics.
Yeah.
But even by reading it...
Sometimes you did, but not always.
That's true, true. Were you a fan, Jimmy? Turn off the Police.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved the Police. Unfashionable that it is, also like Sting solo as well.
Loved them, yeah. But two for me were, no, not the usual ones, King of Pain and Wrapped Around Your Finger.
Yeah, I love that one.
Certified primary school English teacher, Jimmy, and soccer coach in England before his band reached superstardom.
I did not know that. I knew he was a primary school teacher.
Yeah, I did. So did I. We talked about something similar, another guy, a lead.
Yeah, Liam
Dire Straits. Liam Neeson. No, it was Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits. He was an English teacher.
But yeah, he was.
Good old Sting gained his nickname after his habit of wearing a black and yellow jumper with hoop stripes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The band leader, Gordon Solomon, of a band
Solomon. Called...
Yeah, Solomon, yeah. Phoenix Jasmine, the name of the group, thought he looked like a bee.
I thought you were calling Gordon Sumner Gordon Solomon. Yes. With the spiky hair as well.
But he felt like he looked more like a bit of a wasp, which prompted the name Stingin.
Oh, fancy that.
He learned to play the bass guitar, piano and guitar without any formal training. Good lad. My brother-in-law, exact same, guitar, piano, and guitar.
Guitar, piano, and
that's formal.
Did he play the guitar as well?
Me.
How many guitars is that?
Guitar, piano, and not the other guitar, Jimmy. No, but fair play, good skills.
Mm.
Without a teacher.
Mm.
Talented or what? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was brilliant and talented. Wonderful voice as well. Wonderful voice.
17 Grammy Awards, 3 Brit Awards, and an induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Appeared in films such as Dune, Quadrophenia, Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels, showcasing his versatility as an artist. Now, Quadrophenia, hand on heart, I swear on my dog, Jimmy, and I should be ashamed of myself, and with the huge amount of DVDs and films I have at home here, I have never seen the movie Quadrophenia.
No, nor have I. I think I know that Phil Daniels was in it, wasn't he? Was Leslie Ash in it?
Good question.
I actually think so, but I've never seen it either.
Never seen it, Jimmy.
No.
I'm fluent in French and Italian.
Who?
Me.
Are you? Is he? He sang some songs in Portuguese, didn't he?
He's a great lad.
Mm.
And fair play to him, Jimmy.
Yeah,
yeah. Skills.
I was just going to say to you, when you were mentioning Sting and the stalking and all that, we had a long weekend here, as did many people, due to the elections. And my wife's immobile, so we spent a lot of time watching the television the weekend. Got the BBC iPlayer. Now, I don't know, Ray, have you ever seen anything called Nighty Night?
Heard of it.
Well, I'd heard of it. But it was one of those things. I used to go on Amazon website and pretend that I bought various DVDs and CDs to see what it used to recommend me. I'd seen this Nighty Night, but I'd never quite got around to watching it. And we just watched the brilliant Early Doors, which I mentioned to you before, Ray, which you've still not seen, on BBC iPlayer. And it suggested we watch this Nighty Night thing. My God, it is the sickest thing that I've ever seen. It's a sitcom, Rick. But
a sitcom?
Yes, I did say sitcom, but a lot of journalists actually did call it a sitcom. Is this this beautician who pretends to be a born-again Christian and played by Julia Davis, who also writes it as well. And in episode one, she is doing this outrageous dance at a church hall to Lavender by Marillion when Angus Deaton walks in, who's married to a woman with MS, and she falls in love with him immediately. But she's a narcissistic sociopath, and she basically does everything that she can to make sure that she has him over two series. And I tell you what, it's absolutely shocking. I was reading that, read a few, because, you know, you start watching something and you want to read about it. And people were saying that, you know, Steve Coogan and Ricky Gervais kind of created this sort of cringe comedy, but this woman, Julia Davis, took this to another level, and she will do anything to get her man. And I'm not excluding a few light murders here as well. You've got to watch it, Ray. It's got some really funny moments in it, but it's almost like horror in a way. You know,
Repeat the name again, Jimmy, for the year.
Night. It's called Nighty Night, which sounds something it's 20 years old, actually. Sounds completely inoffensive. The music is nice and quirky and bouncy. And the opening scene, you see a husband and wife at the doctor's, and they're holding hands, and the doctor says, it's bad news, it is cancer. The woman just starts crying. You know, the husband's trying to console her. And the husband says after a bit, you know, if it's any consolation, it is me that's got cancer, not you. And she says, yeah, but it's always worse for the partner. And that's your introduction to her. You know, she does not care about anybody else. It is well worth watching. If you've got a bit of a sick sense of humor, most certainly. We watched The League of Gentlemen straight after it and realized how normal that was. So there we are. Have a look for that.
Yeah. Jimmy, nice friend on that. Yeah. Question number two, Jimmy.
Oh, there's a question too.
Because I felt sorry for you, because you haven't been yourself lately.
Yeah.
So I decided to give you an animal celebrity.
Oh, good.
Crocodiles consume stones to enhance diving ability, using the added weight as a stability to increase underwater time. True or false?
Now, if they did that, that would be absolutely genius. That would be like the crows who drop walnuts onto the road to get cars to run over them. Crows are clever. I've never heard anyone say that a crocodile's clever. To be honest.
But you might in a while.
Are they prehistoric animals, aren't they? They're basically dinosaurs. They've got to be stupid. Or relative. Well, stupid isn't quite the word I mean, but I mean not as developed as something like crows. I'm just on impulse, I'm going to say false. And you're going to tell me it's true.
I am. True.
Is it really?
So in theory, theoretically speaking, Jimmy, they're all stoners. They're all fucking stoners. I'm roaring. I nearly earlier said driving ability instead of diving ability. I wasn't going to keep on Googling and go down the old rabbit hole, Jimmy. Pure curiosity got the better of me.
Yeah.
Seemingly. Now, you like that word, Jimster. So I'm going to change it to apparently, Jimmy. Or supposedly, you dirt.
That's much better for a family show, Raymond.
So apparently, back in the day, dinosaurs ate rocks for digestion as well.
So I was right about dinosaurs.
No small surprise, gators, and especially birds. Dinosaurs' direct descendants would do the same. Now wait for it, all the shakers out there trying to digest this. Dinos never existed anyway. And they know education is worthless and history does not exist. Bollocks, Jimmy. Back to the old stoners.
I've seen a dinosaur anyway. Of course they exist.
Back to the old stoners.
Chicago and the airport.
The poor things probably. No wonder they're always in an old foul mood, Jimmy, and they're always ready to snap. Their stomach cramps must be infuriating, Jimmy. Seriously.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Because I'm curious about the stones. If they pass them all the way through...
You throw them by the shaggies in the mouth?
Or does it stay in the stomach?
Well, it couldn't stay in the stomach, really. It would have to come through.
Yeah.
But then again...
Look, Jimmy.
Yeah, lady crocodiles, they'd be used to shitting out eggs anyway. So they don't have an advantage.
Take me, for example, Jimmy. I'm not fat.
Okay? You have to.
I just eat stones for diving purposes, Jimmy. But seriously, to put your minds at ease and at rest, they use the stones to crush up the meat they swallow for digesting purposes.
Go on.
Wowee. So they use them as a kind of grinder.
Jimmy, I watched that on 321. 321 Contact. About 40 years ago.
You watched 321 Contact?
321 Contact.
What?
40 years ago, it was a TV program about facts.
Oh, right. Okay. And it just stayed there, did it, in the old memory?
Yeah. Astronauts, Jimmy, wouldn't be stoners. They'd be on a different level. Swallowing stones would be a huge waste of space, Jimmy, for them, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
On a final note, Jimmy.
Oh, I'm the great Irish astronauts. The Americans decided that the moon needs to have its own time zone today for some reason. I have absolutely no idea why. I wonder if it's to do with trains coming in and not bashing into each other. I said, why the fucking hell does the moon need a time zone?
I think I've had too many roofies and bangs.
Were you going to say that as well?
I was. Jimmy. As the great Irish philosopher once quoted, this is what Elton John truly meant by Crocodile Rock.
Yeah, it could have been. And he did Rocket Man.
It could have been. Why did the female crocodile leave her husband, Jimmy?
I don't know, Ray. Why did the female crocodile leave her husband, Jimmy?
He had a reptile dysfunction.
They always suffer from that. They always have sexual problems, crocodiles. They always either have reptile problems or it's just too snappy, unfortunately, and the woman's not satisfied.
Okay, let's snap out of it, yes.
Indeed. Thanks to all those who have contributed to the Ilona Jennings Cancer Fund. Ilona's going through chemo at the moment, so if you've got a bit of spare cash and would like to contribute, that would be very much welcome, and you can find out more about that on the Talking Istanbulics Facebook page.
And now, Shakers, as John Cleese used to say, or something completely different.
Caden Stokes, Caden Stokes, Caden Stokes is a really woke bloke. Early in the morning, as the day was dawning, Caden is a really weird man.
Hi listeners, my name is Caden Stokes. It's awesome to be here. I'm deeply passionate about challenging systemic injustices and amplifying marginalized voices. Welcome to my world.
Officer Thompson, I need to report a crime. I've just been robbed. My wallet was taken, and I have a detailed description of the person who did it.
Of course, I'm very sorry to hear that, sir. I'm here to help. It's okay. Can you tell me your name, please?
Certainly. It's Caden Stokes.
Please go ahead and tell me what happened, Mr. Stokes.
Well, it was by a person in a gray tracksuit top.
That's a good start. Was it a man or a woman?
Well, I don't want to make assumptions about... They had short, dark hair, and they had a very strong, empowering presence and a tracksuit.
You say they. How many people mugged you?
One. There was one of them.
So why did you call the person they? That would refer to two or more people or things previously mentioned or easily identified. And with respect, sir, you haven't told me who you're talking about yet. Was it a man?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? Did you see him or her or not?
Of course I saw them.
Well?
I don't want to misgender anyone. It might have been a trans woman.
Do you think the person was born with male genitalia, sir?
Yes, but I can't guarantee that the perpetrator identified as a man.
I see. Sir, I want to help you find this person, but unless you give me a clear description, I might not be able to. So let's start again. Was it a man?
Yes.
Was he black?
Just because he's a criminal, we can't assume he was black. That's offensive.
Sir, I'm black and I'm not remotely offended by describing someone black as black. It's a fact, not an opinion. Was he black? Yes or no?
Yes.
Was he overweight, sir?
I will not be lured into body shaming.
Was he fat? Look, do you want your wallet back or not?
Yes and yes.
So he was an overweight black male?
Well, I'm not comfortable with the language you're using.
I'm asking you to confirm his description.
No comment.
Sir, I don't know what it's like wherever you come from, but in this country, somebody reporting a crime doesn't usually say no comment. Let's go over the details now. We're looking for a black individual.
No comment.
Male, heavily built.
No comment.
Sir?
I demand to speak to my lawyer.
Sir, if you don't give me the information, I will arrest you for obstructing the course of justice.
I am prepared to go to jail for racial justice.
Listen, you stupid bastard. You are white. You've always been white. You don't know what it's like to be black.
I don't like your aggressive tone.
Sir, I'm advising you to cool it.
What about George Floyd? Trayvon Martin? Black lives matter. Your lot don't care. It's institutionalized racism. What about Rosa Parks? Lenny Henry?
Excuse me, Officer Thompson. We've just arrested a black male. Heavily built, shaved head. He's been mugging tourists. Let's get him in a holding cell.
Sounds like your man, Mr. Stokes.
That's him. That's the fucking animal. He looks like Mike Tyson's fat rapist son.
There is blood we'll be seeing you.
Caden Stokes, I'm arresting you for being a prick. You do not have to say anything. But it may harm your defense if you do not mention when questioned something which you later rely on in court. Sling that fucking yank cunt in the cells with that mugger twat.
Making his debut on Istanbul's Caden Stokes. As we literally take the piss, Jimmy, out of almost everything on this show, it's only too right, pal, to give a massive, enormous kick up the arsehole to the wokies.
Absolutely, it is.
I like that.
Yeah, you know, they've made this new law in Scotland now, which J.K. Rowling has invited the police to arrest her. These silly new laws about hatred and spread inciting hatred. Now, we might all agree that, you know, it's not a nice thing to say horrible things about people, but the law says something like it has to be something that a reasonable person considers to be offensive. So it depends what you class as a reasonable person. Is Caden a reasonable person? Is the policeman a reasonable person? You know, was he doing the right thing, Caden, there? Or not? Okay. I like the policeman, though, there, to be honest. I think he's got to get on with his job, hasn't he? And he didn't need any of that shame.
In the near future, are we going to be having a lot more different Stokes?
I think, I've been speaking to Caden's people. I think that Caden might well be back. Providing he doesn't get too much of a pummeling from that mugger.
For example, Jimmy, our Norma in Licky End, she'd eat him alive for breakfast.
Yeah, they're kind of polar opposites, aren't they, really?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be amusing if they were to meet? Anyway, I think he kind of got what he deserved a little bit, didn't he? Caden. Anyway, now it's been a few weeks since we've had Kiss and Tell, but we got a great letter in from Pearl, who wrote to us at talkingistanbullocks@gmail.com, which you can do if you want to tell us tales of dodgy dates that you've been on.
Are you taking a piss?
Kiss and Tell.
That's right, we want you to spill the deets, pal, on your first date escapades, and we decide if it's in his kiss are just taking the piss.
Ever had a date that left you wondering? Share it with us. We'll read it out on air and let's dive into the drama.
So send an email to talkingistanbullocks@gmail.com and let's kiss and tell, because every great story starts with a kiss.
Are you taking the piss?
Dear Yorman and Ray, love the show.
I'm writing to tell you about an awkward date I went on about 5 years ago, and I'd love to hear if you thought that I made the right choice. I'd just been transferred to Tunbridge Wells, and I met a guy in the canteen at work on the first day. We had a brief chat, and he asked how I was settling in. It turned out he worked in IT, and we were both fans of Pink Floyd. He was very helpful, helping me set up my email and to understand the new systems, and he asked me out on a date to watch a movie. And as I didn't know anyone else in town, I thought, why not? He let me choose the film, so I thought, you know, he seemed a considerate gentleman. All went well during the film, and we laughed at the same parts. And then he suggested we go to a fair trade cafe just down the road. We chatted, and I was surprised at how much of a good time I was actually having. We talked about family and travel, and then there was this awkward pause. And he looked at me and said, I've had a few dates before where we've just not been compatible, as I'm sure you have. I agreed, and then he followed up with, so what are your dating goals? And I found the question to be quite awkward and unexpected, especially for a first date conversation. However, what happened next took me completely by surprise. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a piece of paper neatly folded into fours, which turned out to be a chart he'd created using Microsoft Excel. Yes, you read that right, a chart. He proceeded to explain how he had charted out his own dating goals and expectations, complete with color-coded categories and timelines, and thought it would be helpful if I did the same. He handed me the printed spreadsheet and gave me one of those stumpy IKEA pencils. What was even more bizarre was some of the categories he'd included on his chart, alongside the typical ones like strengths and weaknesses, areas of growth and interest. There were some unexpected additions. For instance, he had a section labelled Margin of Compromise as a percentage, and another one shockingly titled Bra Size. I must have gasped when I saw bra size, and he attempted to reassure me that I could ignore that column as he didn't wear one, and the fact that he'd written C if slim or D if she's a fatty as his preferred option. He must have been embarrassed by my shock and tried to save the day by saying, obviously, that's just a best-case scenario. I went out with a girl who was flatter than me once, and that was perfectly acceptable. I almost spat out my retort. Well, what would be ideal for me, then? He looked me up and down and said, I'd say somewhere between a C and a D, wouldn't you? At this point, I poured my pumpkin latte over his chart, and I stood up to leave. He exclaimed, oh, come on, don't be like that. That's a waste of paper. Do you know how many trees are chopped down for paper pulp each year? I glared over at him with my hands on either side of the table and yelled, no, do you? He gulped and said, quite a lot. That's how many. I walked out and avoided him at work after that, but later found out that most of the women at work called him Steve the Statistician. Did I do well, boys? Sincerely, from Pearl in Tunbridge Wells. What do we think, Ray?
She didn't give a frap. Evidently, depresso.
Oh, God. Some people are just unbelievable, aren't they? I mean, you can think that people are normal, and then they've got spreadsheets about the size of your bra. What the hell does that mean about... What did it say? The percentage of... God, I'm just trying to read this again. Margin of compromise is a percentage. Yeah. What does that mean? How do you, even if you write a number, 20%, what does that mean? I'll compromise 20% of the time, 20% of the time I won't. How do you measure it? It's mental. Ladies, I feel really sorry for you with some of these weird men that are knocking around with their... spreadsheets and odd requests to buy dog food and things like that.
As the great old Irish philosopher once put it to me, every time you're about to excel, someone has to spreadsheet. Is it like that?
Yeah,
spreadsheet.
Black Milkshake, best post of the week.
Shakers, we're down in the local juicer. It's Thursday evening here, and tomorrow, Jimster, it's a half day at school. Holidays. 10
holidays.
Lovely days of holidays. You looking forward to it, Jimmy?
Very much. Are you going anywhere?
I know you are. Unfortunately, no, because the reason why, Jimmy, is because I'm heading off to Ireland for the summer holidays, and I'm going to extend it to about 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah, my son is going to England, London, and he's also going to Scotland to see Uncle Russell.
Oh, is he? Up in Inverness?
Yeah, with his mummy. I'm not going. All right, because when Aaron comes back, because when Aaron comes back a week or two later after that, me and Aaron will head off to Ireland for an extended. So Aaron will have the time of his life.
Yeah.
London, Scotland, and we'll tour around Ireland. Yourself?
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, Saturday we're all flying to Greece, and we're going to have a week there and just enjoy some nice relaxation and decent breakfasts. None of the stuff.
Nothing wrong with a good Turkish breakfast if you get the correct one.
That's debatable. No, I think you can get decent Turkish breakfast, but I think if anybody is wanting to come to Turkey, really, Turkish breakfast in a hotel, it's going to be one of the worst breakfasts that you can get in a hotel anywhere in the world. But if you actually go out and look for places, it probably won't cost you very much. You can get a much better deal, can't you? But it is miserable. Absolutely miserable what you get in those hotels, even some of the nicer ones, to be honest. Anyway.
Post of the week comes from Paul Irwin from Melbourne in Australia. Hi, Paul. Hope you're tip-top, mate.
Hey, Paul.
Keeping well, yeah. And I hope you're enjoying the good weather. I'm sure it's probably much the same as it is there, probably even
might be, but it's coming on their autumn, isn't it? Don't forget.
But usually Australia is hotter than hot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Melbourne is not the hottest of places, but I mean, I've been to Australia in the middle of winter, and it's not a miserable winter, not by any stretch, you know.
Exactly. Paul goes on to rant: a monkey is sitting in a tree having a roofies and a Baileys.
I know.
You spat that out there, Jimmy. He's smoking.
And it is, yeah. Who, me or the monkey?
The monkey.
Sorry.
Smoking a spliff. When a lizard walks past, the lizard looks up and says to the monkey, "Hey, what are you doing, pal?" The monkey says, "Smoking a joint. Come up and join me, my cold-blooded friend. Come up here to fuck and join me, man." So the lizard climbs up and sits next to the monkey, and they have another joint. After a while, the lizard says his mouth is quite dry and that he's going to get a drink from the river. At the riverbank, the lizard is so stoned that he leans too far over and he falls in. Crocodile sees this and swims over to the stoned lizard, helping him to the side. Then he asks the lizard, "What's the matter with you?" The lizard explains to the crocodile that he was sitting in the tree smoking a joint with his new monkey friend. Then he explained how his mouth got very dry and that he was so wasted that he went to get a drink from the river and he feckin' fell in. The curious crocodile says he has to check this out right away. He walks into the jungle and he finds the tree where the monkey is sitting, finishing a joint. He looks up and says, "Hey, monkey!" The monkey looks down and says, "For fuck's sake, dude, how much water did you drink?"
You got me again with the mouth full of beer then, unfortunately.
Cheers, Paul.
Yes.
They were the ones I liked, man.
Yeah. Any relation to Steve?
No.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? How it all kind of snaps together.
Yes, it is, absolutely. Just hope that you're not making any of these things up, really.
Nice, Jimmy, me, never.
Anyway, that's all, folks, for this week. We didn't even mention Jeffrey Donaldson, Ray. I think we're not going to either. Keep your letters coming in for Kiss and Tell. And tell us about a date that left you cold. And send us a topic that you'd like Morgan to read a poem about. It can be any topic. He will write the poem. I've got a good one coming up. Somebody's requested one about fishing on a summer's day. We've got Liam Neeson in next week again. Great. And possibly Onzi if we can get hold of him. And I'll be recording from sunny Crete, so I guess you'll be recording from your sunny apartment.
I will.
Yeah.
Huge thanks, Jacobs, for your support. Please, if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend and listen to a couple of the episodes from 2022 and 2023. We'll kill you.
Yes, this is your show as much as ours, and we can only keep making it if you lend a hand.
Special thanks to Spudman Magazine, Mar E.E., our Chinese voiceover artist,
Duncan Chesley, and of course, Eamon McAndrew.
Good skills.
Talking Istan Bullocks Comedy Podcast was brought to you by Ray Mack and Yorma Kiriko and was produced by James Kirk. No animals or copyright were violated during the making of this podcast. Talking Istan Bullocks 2024.